of my lips and the thoughts of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Perhaps tonight, of all nights in the Christian year, our imaginations are particularly alive and intense as we link the events of Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples and with his friends around him and with this celebration of the Lord's Supper, which has come to be known as Eucharist, Holy Communion, Mass, breaking of bread. So let's imagine for a while that we are the disciples. Jesus has asked us to book a room in the busy city to share Passover, which, by the way, you heard about in the first reading. We have celebrated this Passover many times with our families. We know the words by heart, the prayers, the actions, the blessings, the Seder, as it's called, or liturgy, and the reading from the Haggadah, which is the story of our history, our slavery in Egypt, our release through Moses, the holy commitment at Mount Sinai, and our return to the Promised Land. And we know what to get ready. The lamb has to be secured and ritually killed. Leaven has to be scrupulously excluded to remind us of the haste of departure, and that evil had to be swept away. Bitter herbs remind us of the bitter bondage in Egypt. Salt water remind us of the salt of the tear of tears and of the Red Sea. A paste of apples, dates, pomegranates and nuts represent the clay to make the bricks that we were forced to make, and cinnamon stood for straw which helped to make the bricks. Four cups of wine representing the four promises in Exodus 6 to bring you out, to deliver you, to take you for my people, to be your God. Three pieces of unleavened bread, or matzo, are put on a plate. These represent the three patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The middle matzo is broken during the meal, and one half is hidden for the children of the family to find later on in the celebration. Yeah, it's been a busy day, hasn't it? As we've prepared for this celebration of Passover. And now we gather with our Lord in the appointed place. The celebration begins, and all is following the familiar pattern until Jesus the host takes the bread and breaks it with the words, "Blessed are you, Lord God of the universe. You bring forth bread from the earth. This is the bread of affliction which Israel ate in the land of Egypt. This the Almighty did for me when I came out of Egypt. It is a symbol of the days of slavery and the pain of so many in the world today. It is our hope that next year people will be free from all oppressions." Jesus pauses, and then I'm using my imagination, and I hope you're using yours, pauses, and with a quiet intensity, adds some words to the liturgy. "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now we know what happened next. From where we are in the 21st century, but this bread was soon to be broken on the cross. This is the bread which if a man eat of it, he will never hunger again. Jesus was that bread. And we have not yet begun to understand these things. But those new, shattering words do sink in. We wear puzzled faces and start whispering questions amongst ourselves. Jesus picks up the Passover liturgy again, and we proceed, marking the stages of the feast with the three cups of wine. At the end of the meal, we are due to drink the fourth cup, the cup of freedom. As the committed children of God, we are called to witness this precious gift of freedom and make it known to all the people of the earth. To those who seek justice, those who lack rights, and those who fight for freedom. Again, we hear the familiar words, "Blessed are you, Lord God of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine." But again, Jesus pauses and with a quiet intensity again says something completely new. "This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And just as with the broken bread, he adds the words, "Do this in remembrance of me." It's almost impossible for us to conceive the utter astonishment and indeed horror, maybe, with which the disciples would hear those words over the bread and wine for the first time. Eating flesh and drinking blood in any culture sounds like an abomination. But these words will be written on our hearts, and over the next few days and weeks, as we witness the giving of Jesus' life, his body and blood to a Jew, we shall begin to grow away from the literal shock of these words, as we do as our